Don't worry, I'm not going to give you a long list of sponsorships and things that you need to buy. Instead, I'm just going to explain. What we do is we teach baking as lifestyle medicine. This is an evidence-based approach to baking, eating, and sharing bread that improves the gut microbiome and mental health. So let's just get straight into this podcast.
You call them insults. That's actually how I feel about some of this thing. Some of the stuff I see, even on, I was watching reels on Instagram, and the load of sugar I watched a woman. I still think I turned into that woman in the park. I once watched a woman get really mad with pigeons, and she stood in the park and fed them all and shouted at them. And I feel like that woman. I'm like, why are you eating this? Stop. So I have to find a way to replace that, which is why my passion for what I do and for what you do is because we know that by don't eat mince pies. I mean, seriously, guys, my mince pies are so good. I mean, we're talking like good. I think it's actually just about adjusting the way that you bake. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to not just part of these webinars is kind of really explaining why my approach is like this and why it's so different and why we bake for optimal health. So Miguel's just explained the most incredible mechanism going on in each of our guts as to why we would want to bake the recipes that I produce here over and above anything else, and why you'd want to feed your family. I mean, Miguel, you know this. I mean, you know, when someone in your family is poorly, there is a thing where I know this personally from very personal experience. I don't know what to do. And I always inevitably end up making food for them. Because one of my close friends recently, he's very poorly and he's just out of hospital, and I'm going to bake for him and I will take the stuff around, and he's recovering. And I want to nourish him because I really love him and I would like to see him recover. So it's not just about what you're eating, it's about what you're feeding your friends and your family. And I know that for every one person listening to this, I've got James chatting, Chef James Wilson. I don't know how many people you feed, James, but I'm hoping that this is triggering your brain, because this should then start to trickle down into, you know, the way you approach your food.
So. Absolutely. And just, I'll show you just one example more. So this is from another paper from Cell, which is a great journal. And he's got some examples again.
Can you make your screen bigger there for a second? That's great.
Cool. Okay, so you've got some different foods and how they might affect. And you see a lot of the mechanism is just relying on the mucus. So you've got the mucus layer and how it's going to be impaired. And that's going to trigger some inflammation, which can stay within the gut, but it can develop into chronic inflammation.
We've got DNA damage there as well, which is associated with cancer, right?
Yeah, so this is particularly from a paper on cancer, so it does cover the DNA damage. But there was there's an example of a couple of bacteria. So you have some bacteria like enterotoxigenic Bacteroides fragilis. So this is basically enterotoxigenic, means that it's toxic in the gut. So there will be some bacteria that are actually particularly toxic to the gut when they are present in there. You've got things like Fusobacterium nucleatum, particularly important in colon cancer. So Fusobacterium is actually, it lives in our gums. And if you happen not to floss frequently enough, you might have more Fusobacterium than somebody who actually flosses daily.
That was one that got picked up on a very early one of when I, like 2 years ago. Do you remember I had that? I had an excess of the Fusobacterium.
Yeah, so Fusobacterium can actually spread to your colon. And then it acts in a different way. So in the gum, it can give you gingivitis. So it can basically make your gums inflamed. Mm. In the gut, it's associated with colon cancer. So this is the kind of things, again, that you can start seeing in loads of different papers that are if you start looking for this kind of stuff, you'll find, you know, again, if I look at, there was a graph that I'm pretty sure it was in a Nature paper that was really quite amazing.
So Miguel, one of the things while you're looking for that, guys, one of the things that you saw there was Miguel was talking a lot about this mucus layer. So with all of the recipes that I create with the diversity blends, okay, and with the level of fiber, and then with the level of, so what the sourdough does, the lactic acid bacteria create acid, and the acidity actually increases something called proteolytic enzymes. And they're a little bit like lots of Edward Scissorhands, and they all come to life and they're like, woo, let's go cut some stuff up here. And they start cutting up the tough exterior, the bran, roughage, she used to call it in the 1970s. They start cutting it up. And what that actually means for us is that when we're eating the sourdoughized version of what we create, is that not only am I creating more fiber in the recipes that we're baking, and more diversity, so more of those microbes that are protective, lots of, you know, if you think about the microbes as being a whole group, I'm feeding them all, not just a few of them. That fiber that I'm kind of, you know, putting through those sweet goods and even the probiotics, the live yogurt, the live bacteria and the live cultures, well, that is feeding the microbes, the good ones in your gut, the good guys, the like the heroes that make something called butyric acid. And that is majorly bolstering to that mucus layer that that Miguel was saying. So the approach to the recipes that we're doing at the moment over Christmas, they have very specifically been not only to deny the bad guys, but to bolster the good guys and the output. So it's not, so you've got good, so you basically got good guys who produce butyric acid and short chain fatty acids, and you've got bad guys that produce lipopolysaccharides. The good guys bolster your protection, and they bolster that mucus layer, and the bad guys, well, they like to destroy it. So there's almost like a yin and yang always going on in your gut, minute by minute, second by second, meal by meal, mouthful by mouthful. So this is what we're actually explaining to you here, is actually trying to layer down to explain why I have a very specific way of doing. So there's a lot of sourdough out there, and I noticed on the chats people sharing recipes about sourdough, and I get a little bit sort of antsy about that, because this is what I'm trying to actually achieve, is healthy gut.
Thank you. And this is a completely bonkers graph, but I'm just going to try and explain it to you in just a minute or so. So you've got a number of different factors in here, and you obviously have your probiotics in your starter. You have your prebiotics in the starter as well. You have fermented foods that you might eat on a regular basis. You have things like beans, for example, which are in the botanical blends. So you have, you know, those in there, and obviously your whole grains. And these are in green. So this is kind of like beneficial, and it's talking about the kind of things that we've discussed. So short chain fatty acids, and that's butyric acid, for example. It's talking about anti-inflammatory bits and pieces like this IL-10 and TGF beta. What are they? They're anti-inflammatory cytokines. They're proteins that actually are calming down inflammation in the body.
And they importantly, Miguel, I want you to skip. I don't want you to skip past that. I'd like to just go a little bit deeper into that for a second, guys. I don't want to go too far into this, but I'm going to point something out. Right now, we've got this COVID going on. And one of the major impacts and one of the major things that we're noticing about COVID, and people are beginning to realize, is the makeup and the composition of your gut microbiome is determining your inflammatory reaction to this virus. Now, what Miguel has just pointed out there is the COVID is a cytokine storm, and that the real problem is that your own immune system is attacking you. Now, what we're learning, and this is really important, is that storm is and the composition of your gut actually is determining the way in which your body reacts, because anything between 70 and 90% is the estimate of your immune system is in your gut. That's what you're feeding with what you're eating when you're eating. That's why it's so important. So coming back to these, Miguel, these are the ones we want to encourage. So if we come across COVID, these are the ones that are going to calm that storm down, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you can see a lot of the stuff that we've been discussing anyway. So you can see the mucus layer. So this is the mucus layer in here in yellow. And you can see how in a healthier gut, the mucus is actually thicker than in an unhealthy gut. So this is the red area where you lead to, this actually is talking about the gut-brain axis. So it's talking about inflammation traveling up to the brain. And you can see all of the stuff that we've been discussing as well. So LPS, so lipopolysaccharide, you can see antibiotics and food additives like the E numbers that I showed you before. There's obviously sugar because it feeds the gram-negative bacteria like the Klebsiella and the Citrobacter and all these kind of the Fusobacterium that I told you about. There's meat and meat as well. So I don't want you to, you know, if you eat meat, again, don't freak out, because a little bit of meat and loads of the other beneficial stuff is not the same as somebody who literally just has, you know, meat three times a day that is highly kind of like processed as well. So a lot of the evidence on meat is that, you know, if you have something you can trace back to a farm, even if it comes from a supermarket, but if it's, you know, if it's literally quite clean in terms of hormones and antibiotics, yeah, it may be fine. If you start eating loads of sausages that you don't know what they are made of, and, you know, cheap quality kind of meat products as opposed to your raw ingredient, that's quite important to clarify.
I think that's a whole discussion with Robert. He's one something he brought up about cancer and meat. He was really interested in that when we spoke last. Not all meat is the same. It's different, you know. Miguel, yeah. I could talk about this all day because
I wanted to give some practical things as well. So for me, it's important to think of some foods that are absolutely unlimited and some foods that you should try to manage down at particular times of the year. So
I really hope you've enjoyed listening to this. If the idea of prescribing baking as lifestyle medicine as an evidence-based approach to your patients to help them improve their physical and mental health through the bread that they bake, eat and share every day appeals to you, then go to thesourdoughschool.com and learn how you can prescribe or teach this as part of your own practice. If you have just fallen in love with the whole concept and you just want to learn to do this for yourself and your family, you can self-prescribe at thesourdoughclub.com. I look forward to seeing you in some of our live sessions.